This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Staying strong weekend in sports as we welcome you into Money Moves on a Monday. The NHL Stanley Cup, NBA Finals. We have a four-hole playoff at the RBC Canadian, the longest French Open men's final ever, which ended in a comeback in chaos. Thanks so much for hanging out with us today. JVT, Stormy Bonantoni with you over the course of the next 2 hours. How was your weekend, buddy?
It was good. Like you said, it was a very good weekend. There was a lot going on. The sports were fantastic, and it's summer, so it's nice to get out and get burned by the sun. And I just had a tremendous week.
Speaking of getting burned by the sun, I did like lay out for approximately 20 minutes yesterday. And
you lasted that long?
Barely. I'm fully lathered in sunscreen, mind you, and sure. I still go inside with just the shoulders rosy as can be.
You got sunburn this weekend?
Constantly. Hell every yeah, time brother. I go outside.
Hell yeah, brother.
So I got
also,
one too.
Also, I would say, I'm getting some flack over here about my jacket. Producer Brian Ortega said he likes that our outfits are kind of inverted colors with the red and black, but I'm not wearing red. I'm wearing pink.
It really looks red.
I think our cameras are messed up. What does your eye test tell you? Put
red.
This next to your shirt. Like, it's not the same. It's not the same.
Yeah, it looks very red. Mm. But it could. You're right. It could be. But I think it looks very red to me.
I'm just saying.
That's why I said, you know, you got the memo. And I don't think you understood what I said because you were not listening to me at all when
it
you walked into
sometimes.
The thing. Yeah, I said, oh, you got the memo.
We have a quick change between a numbers game and our show. So sometimes I'm not fully locked in, but I'm locked in now, buddy. So get ready. That said, we've got a lot to come here on the show today. In hour two of the program, we'll have Josh Applebaum in his usual Monday spot, breaking down most likely some MLB. We've got 9 games on the slate today where the money is moving there. Also, Nick Alberga of Leafs Morning Take, but also the NHL Fantasy on Ice podcast, covers the league at length, always has best bets. So we'll get into a little Stanley Cup final action with him. With that in mind, let's set the table for what we have on deck with the rundown.
It's time for the top headlines and topics of the day. This is the rundown.
It's a Monday, so you know we love a little call me crazy, but we will have that at the end of this hour today. Looking at a few things that you may or may not want to call me crazy about, but I don't think, based on what I have seen in the rundown preliminarily, that anything's that crazy. There's a lot of stuff I like.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't say that. I think it's very hockey heavy call me crazy today. But rightfully so. Two very good games. We have a game 3 tonight in the Stanley Cup final that I'm very much looking forward to. After playing some golf later today, terribly, by the way. So that'll be fun. But yes, a lot of hockey in the call me crazy butt. And I feel very strongly about what I'm going to say later today.
Okay, I'm excited for it. Speaking of which, as we go through our top 3 items on the program today, Stanley Cup final game 3 is number 2 on that list. As I mentioned, Nick Alberga is going to help us break it all down. 2 games so far, JVT. 3 overtimes. We're getting it all here in the Cup final so far.
Yeah, it's been absolutely fantastic. If you like hockey, if you like sports, you know, I presented it as such before going into the finals. This is what you want, or the final, excuse me. You have the best player in his respective sport. You've got a burgeoning dynasty. You've got the best team representing its conference. And you've got 2 teams that are just going at it over the course of however long these games are going to last. You cannot be disappointed outside of the icings in overtime in game 1. You cannot be disappointed with what you've gotten in the Stanley Cup Finals so far.
No doubt about it. Series tied at 1 so far as we go to game 3. Series shifting over there to Florida. And the Panthers have been bet out -140 favorites on home ice. And then, not to bury the lead, but number 1... that's more like it, as we have here today. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the OKC Thunder reestablish order in the NBA Finals last night. They down the Pacers 123-107, cover the big spread. Total goes over, and that series 2 is now tied at 1.
It's hard not to start with, like, the headliner, much like the first game where you have to start with Tyrese Halliburton, the shot, and all the things that come from the stupid Pacers stats. It's hard not to start with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from last night. You know, as we mentioned when we talked about it, we'll have the finals MVP ladder updated later today. But when we talked about that Shai performance in game 1, I had him 3rd, and I even noted, like, look, I thought it was a loose 38. Like, he wasn't good on some ends of the floor. I thought he took too many shots. This was, like, as close to perfection when you're talking about a finals performance that you can get from a superstar. 34 points, 11 of 21 from the floor to go 5 rebounds, 8 assists. He also had, I think, did he have 2 steals and a block or 2 blocks and a steal, whatever it was absolutely contributing on the defensive end as well. What do you got?
I thought he had 4 steals.
Steal stories. Yeah. Excuse me. I am incorrect. You are correct. He was incredible.
Yeah.
And so when you look at his ability to just command the game from every single aspect. And there's a lot of different things that I thought went into that game. He was, I thought, the headliner. He found his spots. He was brilliant. every time the ball left his hands, I felt like that thing was going to go in. Mm-hmm. And that's what you kind of look for. That was so – it's so cool. Like, when you look at these two performances and you're like, oh, he's been great in two games, the box score never tells you anything, man. You got to watch these games. And I thought last night Shea was absolutely brilliant.
30-plus points now in 11 playoff games this year. His 72 combined points, the most ever for a player in his first NBA Finals through two games. And I guess that's what you expect for the league MVP. And being on this stage, yes, he is young, but delivering in the moment, so important. And then you go from the star player to also getting the contributions from a depth perspective. And you have Alex Caruso, who adds 20 off the bench, was great on defense as well, held the Pacers' top three offensive players 2-for-8 as the primary defender. And then Aaron Wiggins adds 18 points on 5 made triples. He and Caruso now the second duo in finals history to each hit 4-plus threes off the bench in a finals game. And when everything's coming together like that, I think that's what really makes OKC so dangerous. And one of the big layers, why we like the Thunder so much in the series, and not to overreact to game one.
No. You can't overreact to game two either. But here's the thing. And so this is why I think is the common thread, right? That what's been fascinating about this so far. Through two games, we are split. And that is a very good thing for Indiana because obviously you still won on the road. But the constant here has been Indiana's offense has not looked good through two games. They again here in this game, Stormy, the individual game offensive rating 109.2 through two games, an offensive rating of 109 flat through two games, a negative 7.5 net rating. You can, if you want to, toss the net rating out of the window because of the lopsided nature of game two, but game two still happened. And the bottom line here is that through two games, Indiana's offense has yet to find an efficient flow. So as we move forward into game three, that's going to be pretty interesting. Is just playing at home going to help you unlock with what's ever going on here? You know, should also note that Indiana, in terms of their transition offense, averaging less than a point per play through two games off of live rebounds. That's their bread and butter. It's what they do. They get up and down the floor. Tyrese rips, runs, and gets out in transition. And that just hasn't really been there for them through two games. The Thunder defense, it's almost I feel like I'm like saying the same thing in the Denver series, right? What do we talk about the whole time? The defense is doing its job. They are keeping Jokic and the Nuggets out of the paint. They're doing that to Indiana. The defensive rating is there. They're doing that to Indiana. It's just the offense that needed to kind of wake up, and yesterday it really woke up for OKC.
So for the Pacers offensively, Tyrese Haliburton, I think, a big part of the story. Yes, he delivered in the clutch in game one, but throughout the course of the game, not so much. He has another slow start in this one going into the third quarter. 26 minutes, 5 points on 2-of-7 field goals. 5 turnovers for the game. He's had 3-plus turnovers now in 3 straight games. And Rick Carlisle was asked after the game about kind of those slow starts. And he said, similar to what you said about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and not looking at the box score, that the stats don't necessarily tell the whole story. Take a listen.
Well, there's a lot more to the game than just scoring. So everybody's got to do more. Starts with the best players. Starts with, you know, Tyrese and Pascal and Miles, who will be in here to talk to you guys. And then it goes from there. And so people shouldn't just look at his points and assists and judge how he played or any of our guys played just on that. That's not how our team is built. I mean, we're an ecosystem that has to function together. And, you know, stats, you know, we got to score enough points to win the game. But who gets them and how they get them, not important.
So, JVT, I understand and agree with that to an extent, but Tyrese Haliburton's supposed to be your best player out there, and he has these issues. There are moments he has lulls where you forget he's on the floor. And for a guy who you're trying to display as a star, I don't think that can happen in the NBA Finals.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on how you evaluate or what your expectations are for Tyrese Haliburton. Remember, he only averaged 18.5 points per game in the regular season.
And he had 17.
Yeah, and so he's right in line there. But I do think that there is a sense of, you know, when you have these big moments and you have these performances, we all remember, was it game 4 against New York where he had the 30-point triple-double or whatever it was, right? The guy has had those blow-ups. But he's always been a facilitator, balancing it out with scoring. But I do think there's something to be said of only having 5 points in the first three quarters. But I go back to, do you remember after, was it game 1 of the Timberwolves-Thunder series where the whole narrative coming out of that was like, Ant needs to shoot more. And it's like, well, I mean, yeah, you could say that, but it was a 2-point game, and I think it was maybe game 2. But you know what game I'm referring to where it was like they lost by 2, and it was like Ant needs to shoot more. It's like, well, yeah, but his teammates were brilliant, and you don't just shoot for shooting's sake. And I think it's the same thing here. Look, we should give OKC some credit. Tyrese Halliburton is dealing with Lu Dort. He's dealing with Alex Caruso. They're sending body after body of elite defender at him every minute he's on the floor. And then when he's on defense, Stormy, guess what's happening? They're using his man in actions almost every single time. It's actually it's a taste of their own medicine. They did that to Jalen Brunson in the Eastern Conference Finals. Remember through the first two games, there was that stat. It was like Brunson's defender was like the most used screener or whatever it was. Like they were just going after Brunson almost every possession. And you see that so often here too, where I think all of those come together to put forth a pretty quiet stat line for Tyrese through the first two games outside of the game-winning shot for him in game one. So being back at home, maybe that makes it more comfortable, but I think we should take into account what he's dealing with here, which is Lu Dort and Alex Caruso, and that's absolutely insane to have to deal with on a possession-to-possession basis.
So with the win yesterday for OKC, the Thunder improved to now 17-2 following loss this season, 5-0 in the playoffs, which includes wins of 16 points, obviously that one last night, 32 and 43. So the bounce back has worked out for OKC, which we expected. Still didn't feel comfortable laying the 11.5. We talked about this on Friday. I took the first half angle, which ultimately got there too. Whichever way you played OKC, it worked out. As far as the series price goes, they opened a $7 favorite, got down to as low as minus 300. Now we're back to minus 525. So not quite to that full original series price. Pacers back to 4-1, the opening 5-1, but that had gotten higher. As far as game three goes, 5.5 is the spread we're seeing right now. Open 5, so a slight adjustment in OKC's favor on the road, total 228.5. And we'll dive into that more a little bit later. We'll also have JVT's adjusted MVP ladder. I'll do the same for the Stanley Cup final coming up, game 3 tonight. When we return after our first break of the day here on Money Moves, breaking down all things stick and puck. Don't go anywhere.
Watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NBA Finals and Stanley Cup are in action, and PropitX is offering the best odds all playoffs long. PropitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against the books. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds on average by 10 to 20%. You can even request your own odds in certain circumstances. Download PropitX today and use our code VSIN. That'll earn you up to $200 in profit cash over your first month. Again, download PropitX and use our code VSIN. Alongside Jonathan Von Tobel, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We're live in downtown Las Vegas, Circa Resort and Casino. Game 3 of the NHL Stanley Cup final set to get underway later on tonight with the series shifting to Edmonton. Series tied at 1. And I don't know if you'll agree with me or not.
I don't.
But at least over the last decade that I have been more dialed into hockey, I mean, this is probably the best two games of a final that I can remember. We have two back and forth fun teams.
Sure.
Overtime, double overtime. It's kind of giving you everything you wanted, with the exception, and I'll say it because you keep on bringing it home, with the exception of all the icings.
I just know it bothers some of the, I don't know why it does, but I know it bothers some.
A heel. You like being a heel too.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a depth of games to go back to, but like, you know, I thought that 97 series was a lot better. These first two games have been great. Yeah. Like, there's no really denying it. I know that's what you want to hear. It's been the greatest two sporting events I've ever seen in my entire life. These two teams are great. They're very good teams. I don't want to give up too much for the call me crazy, but there's just not much separating these two teams at this point right now, if anything. And I would be very interested to see how Florida responds now back at home finally after dealing with that crowd for the first two games. Home ice, I don't think, is that important when you have two teams as elite as these two. But either way, the change in venue and what that means for the ice, as you were explaining to me, I think is pretty incredible too, Tom.
Yeah, so I do think this is something worth noting, that the ice just in Florida isn't as good. Edmonton, being a finesse, fast team, has really, really good ice. And they, in Edmonton specifically, take a lot of pride in that, making their ice work to their team. Now you go to Florida, where the humidity is going to impact things a little bit. The heat and humidity plays a role. And actually, our guy Jonathan Davis, VSiN NHL betting expert, he shot me a note exactly on the temperature. 91 degrees out there, 48% humidity. And because of that, I think you're going to see an Edmonton team that likes to play with speed, likes to have a lot of puck control going through the neutral zone, is going to have to play more dump and chase hockey. That fares more well for Florida. And I think from a totals perspective as well, where we've seen these really high scoring games so far, this could potentially be game one where Edmonton's getting adjusted to this ice, maybe a lower scoring game. And I understand why Florida has got bet out. You steal a game in Edmonton. Now you're back at home. They're a minus 140 up to as high as minus 145 favorite that I've seen out there. Our goal total still at the 6.5 because we've seen these high goal scoring performances. But I think with the adjustment in the ice, two teams that have felt each other out a little bit better, two goaltenders that despite the goal production that we have seen have actually played really well, maybe this could be the one that leans you to an under.
Okay. So I wanted to ask you this because I thought from a pricing standpoint, this stuck out to me. So through the first two, so the series before it started, correct me if I'm wrong, closed Edmonton minus 130 for the series, right, before game one?
I thought it was minus 120.
Okay, minus 120. Yeah. Okay, all right. Because what I find pretty interesting, and given the fact that the market moved in that direction, these last two games in Edmonton and now looking at the way that this game is priced here today, the market is, after the series went in Edmonton's direction, it's gravitated toward Florida these last few games, including, I mean, in game two, and I guess you're just betting the bounce back, the zigzag, whatever. I mean, we closed it like here, minus 107, like a slight edge in favor of Florida on the road against Edmonton, ended up getting it right. Now they're $1.55 in some spots.
Oh, I didn't think they're that high? Okay.
So, like, that's what I wanted to ask you is, despite the fact that there was, like, some tepid market support for Edmonton for the series, since game one, we've seen some pretty clear support for Florida from the same market.
And I think that a big part of that, especially coming in the last 48 hours, is the fact that Florida did steal a game on the road. Yeah. So, you're getting a little bit more of that love. It's the first game at home coming off of a win. I feel like Florida is going to win tonight, but for two teams that are very evenly matched, you're getting a plus money price on an Edmonton Oilers team that a lot of people thought were poised to win the series. For me, I think that, and I didn't know this bet existed. Maybe you did, and maybe this is something you've seen in the NBA finals.
I probably do.
But a series to be tied at two after four games, like you can bet the series result through four games. And minus 110 is the price for this series to be tied going back to Edmonton in game five. And I really like that bet. The price for Florida is like plus 200, and the price for Edmonton is, where is it? I can't
remember. Like being up 3-1, essentially, right?
Yeah, so Oilers, yes, exactly. So Panthers to be up 3-1 is 2-1, Oilers plus 350, but tied at 2 is a minus 110 favorite, and I really like that bet. I think the Panthers probably win tonight. Edmonton ties the series, and we go back to Edmonton with this thing tied 2-2 in a series that I think a lot of people believe could go seven.
So I will ask you this. Through two games where it seems like both of these teams are identical to one another, at least in terms of a rating standpoint, has there been any sort of tactical edge that you have seen that one team has found, discovered, that would help them in this series? Has anything changed?
I don't think anything stood out one way or another. And you have penalty. You have a what?
I don't watch that much hockey. I'm always amazed when I get to watch some of the best players do their respective thing. Connor McDavid's assist in game two.
He's a freak.
It's so crazy.
He was asked.
It's such good hockey between these two, but he's insane.
I don't know if you saw anything on the podium, but he was asked by a reporter afterwards, like, if there's a kid watching you, wants to know, like, how you got to be able to do certain things like that. He's just like, I don't really have a good answer for you. Like, try really hard. Like, and then Leon Draisaitl jumps in and is like, you can't teach that.
Right.
And that's the true answer. What he does is ridiculous to this point. And that's why, as real quickly, let's do the Stanley Cup betting profile for the Conn Smythe. I have moved things around a little bit here. Right. Connor McDavid.
Oh, that's your ladder.
Yes, my ladder. Okay, my Conn Smythe ladder. Connor McDavid is back to a plus money price now after the loss. If you think that the Oilers are going to win, I think that your options are Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl, but a plus 105 after the minus 150, you're getting that plus sign back in. For me, I am shocked.
By the way, look at you. You called out Sam Bennett at 20-1, I believe, before after game one.
Yes, and I'm shocked that he's still available at such a good number and that Sergei Bobrovsky at 3-1 is still your favorite from a Florida Panthers perspective. Sure. Yes, throughout the course of the postseason, like that's what the Conn Smythe is. For anyone who doesn't know, it's not just like in the NBA Finals. It's not just Finals MVP. This is your Stanley Cup playoffs winner, like best player of the playoffs. But Sam Bennett has four more goals than anyone else in the playoffs.
Let me ask you this about Bobrovsky. How much would media members, how do I phrase this? I guess loosen like loosen the requirements again. So in other words, you give him a little bit of a benefit of the doubt in terms of the goals allowed because of the level of opponent that he's facing. Because I have seen him give up some silly goals over the course of the two games. Not a lot, but I think there's been a couple. I've also seen him make some ridiculous saves, including in this game, too, that kept Florida alive to a point that allowed them to win that game in double overtime. So how much do you think those that decide the award will give him a little bit more leeway because he's facing the likes of Edmonton and that these goals that he's allowing won't actually hold him back that much?
It'll only work out to an extent. Yeah. If he's still giving up 4 goals per game in the series, it's not going to happen.
Sure.
Like, if it's... If he gets a shutout one game or he holds Edmonton to 1 or 2 goals a couple times, sure. But if you're consistently giving up 4 goals per game over the course of a 7-game series, I don't think you can give it to him.
Yes, but like, but one of them is when Connor McDavid is slicing through 3 defenders and then like just simply flinging it to an open teammate and he's lacing it in because Bobrovsky's like in one direction. I feel like I'm voting for it, I feel like, I don't know what he wanted to do there.
Maybe, but Sam Bennett's got 13 goals so far. What if he has 18? Mm-hmm. Like, what, you know, it's, I think that Sam Bennett's going to go into free agency this year, having led the NHL postseason in goals and a Conn Smythe winner if Florida wins it. Like, that's just how this feels to me right now for Sam Bennett. And you're still getting 6-1 on him in this market. He was 30-1, cut down to 20-1 when we bet it last week, 6-1 now. But my adjusted order, Connor McDavid, Sam Bennett, Leon Draisaitl, Brad Marchand, and then Sergei Bobrovsky there. That's my updated number. I do want to also give just real quickly Corey Perry a little honorable mention. The dude's 40 years old, just making plays. It's crazy. The thing you said though about discernible differences, it's what makes it so hard to me is because everything has like a match. Even the Florida Panthers penalty kill, which is so good, is facing the Oilers power play, which is got some of the most talent in the world. Goaltender, yes, Sergei Bobrovsky has the hypothetical edge, but how good has Stuart Skinner been doing a lot of the same things and just standing on his head in moments when you've needed it to? They've each had different pace in certain periods where Edmonton has looked dominant and then Florida has taken over and looked dominant. So it's been a really, really fun series. I hope it continues like this. I hope every game is a 1-goal game and you're not cashing any puck lines if you're laying it and all of that. I want it to continue this.
Hey, that's a good point. We have yet to see a puck line cash in this series, huh?
Yeah. Only if you're taking the dog and you don't do that.
Right. You're right. Yeah, people don't do that. And to your point, too, you had 2 different periods in that last game that we just watched where both teams had a shot share of over 60%. Like, they're just trading blows each time.
I do have a couple specific bets for tonight that we'll get to at the end of the show when we do our best bets. But the Panthers have 17 goals this postseason by defensemen. And there is a D-man I like to keep the point going later on. That was a terrible tease.
You got it.
Josh Applebaum's coming up next. We'll get a little MLB. MLB in next.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Slate on deck coming up this late afternoon evening as we welcome you back to Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, Sirius XM channel 158. He's Jonathan Bontobel. I'm Stormy Bonantoni. And to help us break down where the market's at coming into tonight, Josh Applebaum joins us now on the Progressive Guest Line, VSiN betting analyst, market insights expert. You could follow him on X at Josh_insights. What's going on, buddy? How are you? How was the weekend?
I'm doing great, Stormy. Yeah, you asked me when we were going into the show here, you know, what does Boston think about Brad Marchand? Because it hurts, you know, you see the one that got away, the one you love, go to another team, and, you know, some people might be spiteful. But no, I was telling you right before the show started here that there's a statue of Paul Revere in the middle of the Boston Common. Someone put a Brad Marchand 63 jersey over Paul Revere, and everyone's rooting for Marchie here. So I'm a big Panthers fan. Never thought I'd say that because they broke my heart the year the Bruins set the record for, you know, the most points in a season. But I can just tell you, in Boston, everyone's rooting for Marchand. They're a greasy team that I think as a Bruins fan, you kind of love to see. And I'm rooting for him again here tonight, Stormy.
Is it a Panthers jersey or is it a Bruins jersey?
It's a Bruins jersey, right? Man. Yeah. You got to go bees here, JBT.
Obviously. And I'm just kidding. But, I mean, the shorthanded goal was awesome. The double overtime game winner. He's been tremendous. And it's funny. I love that you guys in Boston are still celebrating him. Meanwhile, teams like the Toronto Maple Leafs that have been done dirty by Marchand for years and years are like, okay, Edmonton, at least you get to feel what we've gone through. And they're just kind of commiserating with Oilers fans. That said, We want to talk a little MLB with you here. And before we get into some of the individual games that are coming up on deck, you have noticed a little bit of a trend shift in underdogs and favorites this season. What are the numbers telling you?
Yeah, Stormy and JBT, we've seen a big shift, and you can put a line of demarcation May 1st of this year. So basically, you know, when I've been coming on your show from the beginning of the year, opening day, first couple months, it was, hey, favorites are absolutely killing it. You saw actually a big shift take place on May 1st, and really that's what you see if you grind baseball on a daily basis. It was like, hey, all these chalk favorites are winning. You might as well play all these favorites, but it's such a long season, and there's ebbs and flows, and we've seen these dogs really, really turn around and start to bark. And here's what the numbers prove out, guys. If you look at dogs in the month of March and April, so beginning of the year, basically they were terrible. They were 178 and 280, a 39% win rate. To put it into perspective, if you had put $100 on every dog in the month of March and April, you were down $6,300. So pretty bad there. However, starting May 1st, a complete turnaround and shift. Since May 1st, dogs are now 241 and 277. That's a 47% win rate. But because, and this is the beauty of baseball, if you can just hit a couple dogs with plus money each day, you're going to turn a profit. So that 47% win rate has produced 33 units won. So instead of being down $6,300 dogs the first 2 months, you're now up $3,300 last couple months here. And really, we've seen this win rate increase by 8% overall. So I think this is just something you got to be aware of. It doesn't mean now you play every single dog, but just know that, hey, maybe you don't want to be laying a lot of these minus numbers. And JBT, I remember last week you were mentioning, you know, the Rockies, who are terrible. Maybe they're going to win a game. Well, obviously, that's kind of coincided with these dogs starting to bark. Mm-hmm. So pay attention to some of these dogs moving forward. Don't be afraid to kind of take that plus money dog that you think might get, you know, just destroyed. No, they're starting to turn these upsets here recently.
All right, let's talk about maybe some of these dogs continuing to get it done. We've seen the Chicago Cubs get a little bit of action here in the market. How do we do this? Cubs and Phillies right now, $132 thereabouts in favor of the Phillies.
Yeah, I'm going to take the plus money with Chicago here. So kind of buried the lead, but I'm going to give you three dogs today, guys. JBT, the first one that caught my eye was Chicago. Going into the pitching matchup here, two guys are throwing the ball very well. Matthew Boyd, the lefty for Chicago, he's 5-3 with a 3.01 ERA. You look at Zach Wheeler having another great year, 6-2, 2.96 ERA. He's coming off paternity leave here. But this is all about the line move to me. It's not just that dogs are barking, so take a dog today. But what is the market also telling you? This game opened, JBT, Philly as high as minus 150. So the public is still leaning toward Philadelphia here. Obviously, you know, they've gone deep in the postseason. They got a lot of star players. But even though you're getting nearly 60% of money line bets at DraftKings on Philly, the line hasn't gone up toward Philly. It's gone down away from Philly toward the Cubs. So Philly has dropped minus 150 down to around minus 130. And we see that line shift in favor of Chicago plus 130 down to around plus 110. If you layer on another system match here, if you just look at short road dogs plus 120 or less since May 1st, they've been even better, 57 and 53. That's a 52% win rate. But again, 52% on favorites, you're losing. 52% on dogs, you're winning. That's actually a 7% ROI. And did you guys know the Cubs are the number one bounce back team in baseball this year? When they lose, they come back the next day and they've gone 18-4. That's an 82% win rate, 48% ROI. Overall, they do have the better offense. They're hitting 259, 88 home runs. They've scored 363 runs. Meanwhile, you look at Philly, great lineup, a lot of star players, but they're only hitting 250 on the year. 68 homers, 297 runs scored. And also, just look at, you know, recent performance, guys. What's up with Philly? They're 1-9, their last 10. They're only hitting 189 as a team. They have a team ERA of 6.01. Chicago, I know they dropped 2-3 against Detroit over the weekend, but they're still 6-4 their last 10, hitting 241 with a 2.07 ERA. And they're actually the number one hitting team on the road this year, hitting 271. So, again, dogs have barked since May 1st. Market's moving toward Chicago. Give me the Cubs plus 110 today.
JVT knows how much I've loved betting on the Cubs this season, so that's not a hard sell for me, Josh. I might have to tail you on that one. Another dog you're looking at today is the Brewers taking on this Atlanta Braves team who continues to slide. Seven straight losses for them now, but with Chris Sale on the hill, you see a minus 149 favorite today. And, I mean, even when they were a big favorite with Chris Sale going the other day against Arizona, he gives up one run and they still lose. Is that kind of the thought process behind tonight as well?
Yeah, I think the value play in the market kind of agrees is Milwaukee today. I'm going to take the Brewers in this one, Stormy. You mentioned the pitching matchup. Looks like an easy win for Atlanta, right? Chris Sale, 3-4, but a 2.93 ERA. Aaron Civale going for Milwaukee, 1-1, 5.19 ERA. But if we look at where this line opened, This is a pretty heavy favorite with Atlanta. They open as high as minus 185, minus 190 on the road. And it's kind of crazy. The public still says, let me lay this big number. Let me take Chris Sale. That's kind of the public bias you're seeing at DraftKings with nearly 70% of moneyline bets going with Atlanta. But once again, line's not going further toward Atlanta. It's really tanking here, away from the Braves toward Milwaukee. We've seen the Braves now get down to around minus 155, minus 150. We've seen this line move toward Milwaukee, you know, plus 160 to begin with. Now you're down to plus 130, plus 125. Let's layer on another system with these dogs. If you are a dog who made the postseason the previous year, so this would match with Milwaukee. Since May 1st, those teams are 73 and 69, 51% win rate, but a 12% ROI. And again, recent performance here. Atlanta, you mentioned it, Stormy. They've really, really struggled here, you know, just pretty much all year. Anytime you think they're going to get some momentum, they just let go of the rope. You even saw Acuna come back and said, hey, they're going to get it going. But no, that hasn't happened. Atlanta, especially as a road favorite, has not been a smart play here. They're 7-13 as a road favorite, only a 35% win rate, minus 41% ROI. They are the worst road chalk team in baseball. Last 10, Brewers are 7-3, ERA of 2.8. Atlanta is 2-8, ERA of 4.17. And then just some classic home road splits. Braves have been one of the worst teams in baseball on the road this year. They're 10-23. Brew Crew have been pretty good at home. They're 19-12. So again, the Braves are still a favorite in this one, but the line is getting shorter. Public's still taking Atlanta, but it looks like the smart money's on Milwaukee. I'm taking the plus money here with the Brew Crew.
All right, let's go to the last one on your list. Mariners on the road against the D-backs. They will send out Merrill Kelly to stop the slide. They get swept by the Reds. Do they bounce back today against Emerson Hancock?
I hope not, JBT. This is my third favorite dog of the day, so I'm looking at the Mariners in this spot. You mentioned Merrill Kelly, 6-2, 3.43 ERA. He's been pretty good. Emerson Hancock, 2-2, 5.19 ERA. But once again, this is kind of a play to me that it's a contrarian line freeze play. So basically, the line really hasn't moved at all. We opened basically D-backs minus 170-ish. They really haven't moved off of minus 170, and that's notable to me because if you look at DraftKings right now, they're taking into account about 75% of bets. So the public is all over the snakes at home, yet the line hasn't moved, and that kind of just jumps out to me. Like, if you're getting such heavy betting on the D-backs, why aren't they up to minus 180, minus 190? That tells me there's kind of a reluctance on the side of the books to hand out more plus money to the Mariners backers here who are contrarian. But Stormy, too, you do a good job of this, kind of highlighting both VSiN bet splits at DraftKings and at Circa, and a huge discrepancy here. At DraftKings, big public book, everyone's taking the Diamondbacks. But out where you're at Circa, heavy bet splits are on the Mariners in this spot. Only 86% bets, kind of heavy, but 99% of the money. So that tells me that the sharper players out at Vegas where you guys are at are really leaning on the Mariners here. Road dogs in particular since May 1st, 46%, not great, but plus money, 8% ROI. If they're also off a win, 15% ROI. Seattle does have some correlative betting, dog high total, so more expected run scored, more variance. Arizona's only 12-14 as a home favorite, 25%. Minus 25% ROI, and Seattle is 13-8, 62% on the road as a dog. That's the second best road dog in baseball. So give me the Mariners here, guys. If we can get 2 out of 3 plus money MLB All right. plays, I'll be happy.
All right. Great intel as always, Josh. We appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this, pal.
Thank you, guys. And by the way, who color-coded these matching outfits? You guys looking pretty good.
Come on. I'm wearing pink, Josh. I'm wearing pink. No, I appreciate you, buddy. And reminder, so Josh mentioned the bet splits. When you are a VSiN Pro subscriber, you get access to all of the betting splits from DraftKings and Circa, 24/7 video access. And when you use our promo code BOOK right now, you get Josh's pre-order of the NFL Sharp Betting Playbook by our good friend Josh Applebaum. Don't miss out. VSiN.com/subscribe.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Betting on sports? Well, why not the races, especially coming off the Belmont this past weekend? First Bet lets you wager on hundreds of horse races every day from top tracks across the U.S. and around the world. You can sign up at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. And use our promo code VSIN200. That'll help you claim a 20% rebate your first 60 days up to $200. Head over to firstbet.com today to check it out.
Put on your tinfoil hats.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
The whole world gone crazy.
For Call Me Crazy, but
And you know what? I think that horse racing thought process plays well into what my first Call Me Crazy item is today, JVT. Call me crazy, but the month of June doesn't get nearly as much love as it deserves on the sports calendar. Obviously, we had the Belmont this past weekend, so the final jewel of the Triple Crown, but the NBA Finals, the Stanley Cup Finals, we got the Men's and Women's College World Series, major events in the PGA, US Open coming up this weekend, tennis, like there is a lot going on in the month of June that I don't think that this month gets enough love.
It's why it's a media thing that many people would care about, but it's why people drive me nuts when they say, like, oh, it's just such a slow time of year. No, there's something.
It's a lot.
There's something. There's a lot going on here. And we're going to be at the, I think, pinnacle of June sports outside of the U.S. Open coming up later this week in Omaha. So very much looking forward to that. But you're absolutely right. Like, there's a lot going on. Your head is spinning. It's actually kind of nice, I think, that we get like a day off every once in a while between these finals. Both Stanley Cup and NBA, so we can like reset. But there's tons, dude.
Yeah,
no question about it.
I agree with you. Omaha is going to be a blast coming up next week. We and Follow the Money both broadcasting there. And what's going to happen with Murray State and Duke coming up today? Look at them kind of pushing them to that game three. Also at the point in the MLB season where you actually know who teams are and you can kind of do a better job of formulating opinions there. So I like that angle. I'm glad you agree. What's your first one?
Well, let's get us started on hockey here. And I was kind of holding back. I wanted to ask you more questions. But for this, you call me crazy, but there is no discernible edge between the Oilers and the Panthers. These two teams are destined to fight like Godzilla and King Kong for eternity. If you simulate the series 1,000 times, it would be 501 to 499. At least I don't think that there is really any difference between these two. I think we have seen it now at this point. It is, I think, somewhat contrasting styles. Like you said, maybe later today the ice will help, maybe it won't, whatever it is. I watched two Titans that are on the same level with each other on a possession-to-possession basis. It, like, this should just be a pure coin flip. Every time they take the ice, this should just be a pure 50-50. Who the hell knows what's going to happen? So I guess, like, price-wise, that leads me to Edmonton today.
Sure.
But I don't see how you can realistically be somebody in this betting space and go, I've got an edge here on this game from a side standpoint. I heartily disagree with you. You are a liar. There is no edge between these two teams. They are dead even, and the only issue is that they have to play an odd number of games, and ultimately somebody will have more wins than the other.
You're not going to get any disagreement out of me, which is why so much of our conversation coming into this series, where even when I said from a roster standpoint, I agree with you that Florida appears to be the better team, but the Oilers also have the best player in the world on their side, and they have gotten better from last year to this year. Both teams have. And then from a motivation standpoint, even that is so interesting because Florida is in their third cup in a row. They've got all of this experience. They won last year. They got what that feeling is like, and they want to have it again. Meanwhile, Edmonton, from a motivation standpoint, loses that game in Game 7 after clawing all the way back and has nothing but hunger to finally get their cup and for the best player in the world to get one. So I love the back and forth of this series. I think it's going to go 7. I think it's going to go the distance. I think all of these games are going to be relatively close. So I am 100% with you. You are not crazy at all. And I'm going to continue to go down that hockey line because call me crazy, but Alexander Barkov is due. He had 9 points the 6 games prior coming into the Stanley Cup final. Hasn't found the score sheet yet. The top line in general has just combined for 3 points so far in these first 2 games, which usually they're the group that's driving offense. But we talked a lot about this, that the third line could have an advantage because they don't have the same defensive responsibilities. They're not out there on the ice with Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl the way that that top line is. So that's been the best line. But Barkov is too good not to contribute. No points, -4 on the ice through 2 games, not tonight. So I'm looking at different ways to buy in on him today. I don't love the juice at -190 for an anytime point, but +250 for 2 plus points, -105 for an assist specifically might be the way I ultimately play it, +235 for an anytime goal. I also kind of like the top line parlay option. You know that I'm anti-Sam Reinhart in this series, but he, Barkov, and Verhaeghe each have a point could be interesting as well.
Yeah, I think it makes some sense. You look at like some of the deeper numbers for him too, like the individual expected goals when he's on the ice, things like that. It would make some sense that at some point he's going to be able to get it done. So I'm with you. And your eye for some of these guys like him, Sam Bennett, I will trust you, I think, all the way through. I don't want to get us off hockey, so you keep rolling here.
Speaking of Sam Bennett, call me crazy, but I got to keep betting the guy, right? Yeah. Like,
I have him for most.
He keeps getting it done.
It's just crazy.
You got a good ticket on him.
I have him for most goals in the series at 11-1. I added as a hedge to my Edmonton Oilers bet Sam Bennett to win Conn Smythe at 20-1. I've cashed anytime goal on him the first two games. And while I know 12 of his 13 games so far in this postseason have come on the road, I kind of want to fire on him again today because you're getting him in the plus 200 range. And I don't know why you're still getting such a good number on Sam Bennett to score an anytime goal. So three goals the first two games of the final, at least one in the last three straight games that he's played in the playoffs. I feel like he's just going to continue to roll.
You've had a good read on him, so I'm not going to disagree in any way, shape, or form. I will be betting it, too, just because I need something to bet and watch. Outside of our friendly wager for the series, yes. And I do have the Florida Panthers to win the series, I will be sitting back, and I need something to root for later today.
And power play, too, has been the unit, and he's been the trigger man on the unit. So, like, if we continue to get penalties like we have so far, why not? Which, by the way, for all the penalties that we're getting, we're not getting any of them in the third period or overtime. They just swallow those whistles late in these games, which, to an extent, I kind of like. So, okay, go ahead. What's next for you?
I'm going to open a can of worms. I don't want to do that. It's an officiating thing overall.
Yes.
Because to me, if it's a penalty in period one or quarter one, it should be.
Yeah, but totally
anyway.
Agree.
All right. So I'll transition this to hockey really quick, to basketball really quick. So I was going through some stuff. You know, we're live, by the way. Shea had a lot of assists yesterday. I think he finished with seven yesterday. Both Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and Jalen Williams.
Eight.
One assist behind Tyrese Haliburton for the series lead right now. For those who don't remember, Jalen Williams 66-1, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander 5-1 were the things written up and bet on. We talked about those. I think you added Shea, correct?
Yep, I did.
So we are live potentially to get this thing
done. But I got plus 260 when you got 5-1.
The market was all over him. Doesn't matter unless you cash it. Pascal Siakam, though, I think is a good bet of plus 150 to lead the series in rebounds. So right now, if you look at it, at the top of this board, he is tied with Isaiah Hartenstein for most rebounds in the series. Hartenstein has made the most of, I don't say minuscule minutes because he actually played more. He had 22 yesterday, but he is not getting anywhere near as many minutes. He's just been elite when you're talking about his ability to rebound. The percentage of rebounds he's grabbing when he's on the floor has been incredible. But I think that when you look at this and Pascal Siakam's opportunity to potentially do this, at times being a very big threat for them down low, the way they're using him, they're putting him down low, Stormy, against some of these smaller guards. He's got the rebound opportunities. He's got 8 offensive rebounds through 2 games. I think a plus 150, especially when the leader you're tied with is a bench player that's not starting these games, is playing less than 20 minutes a game, I think that you're going to be in a pretty good spot here. Now, Chet Holmgren was the odds-on favorite to lead this market. He is all the way – I shouldn't say all the way down, but he is down at about 12 rebounds. He's 5 rebounds behind Hartenstein and Siakam. It just seems that the way he's having to play, especially with Turner, he's away from the basket. Turner's a perimeter-oriented, forward-facing big. Holmgren is not there to clean up the glass. I think Siakam has very much benefited from it. So call me crazy, but Pascal Siakam is a good bet at plus 150 to lead the series in rebounds.
I don't hate it. Like you said, they both got 17 so far. He's playing 30 and 35 minutes.
Yep.
Hartenstein's playing 17 and 22 minutes.
Yep.
So it makes sense just from a numbers standpoint. And you, at least in my brain, your handicap specifically on game one of being anti-Hartenstein in this series was he's not going to get the full complement of minutes.
Sure.
He still had 9 rebounds in that game. Is that going to continue to that level?
I would say no. I mean, he's been very efficient in the minutes that he's gotten. If you went back to the well with the points, rebounds, and assists yesterday, you got there.
Okay.
So with the under on Hartenstein. So, again, he's just been really good in his minutes. You give him credit for getting benched, if you will, but still coming in and performing very well. I just think opportunity-wise, efficiency-wise, like that should tail off, and Siakam's going to be live.
Okay, this is kind of a fun one because here in Las Vegas, myself and producer Brian Ortega went to see Kenny Chesney at the Sphere this past weekend. I'm not even a huge country person. I'm not a huge concert person in general. Call me crazy, but all concerts are going to be ruined for me after having seen one at the Sphere. I don't know if you've been to a show there.
No.
It's unbelievable. It was so much fun. The visuals were fantastic. Everybody's into everything. There's not a bad seat in the house because of the way that this thing is like laid out. I had a blast. I'm going to Backstreet Boys again next month, so we'll see if that even ups the game for me a little bit more because I am a 90s, early 2000s type of a girl, so I'm going to be very into it. It was fantastic. Call me crazy, but I feel like other concerts are just not going to do it for me anymore.
Where was the first Backstreet Boys residency at? Mandalay Bay? Plan to Hollywood, thank you. That was good. I saw that. That was fun.
At the
Sphere should be good.
I saw them their first reunion back when I was in college at Viejas.
Yeah.
And so I feel like this is going to up the ante for me that much more.
You know, something tells me that if I was on the edge, I wouldn't be able to have this conversation. Humans would be open to it. I'm talking about
Matt
Tim.
Humans isn't going to go to Backstreet Boys?
Oh, no, I'm talking about Tim. Humans is a big Backstreet
Tim
Boys guy.
Tim looks like a Backstreet Boy.
Which one?
Carter? Nick Carter? He gives blonde
Nick
hair
Carter?
Vibes.
Carter?
He gives blonde hair vibes. No? We'll do a comp. On that note, we got to take a timeout. Resetting for hour two of the program coming up after this. Stick around.